for Shus Gilad's parents, sister, brother-in-law, members of the family who are here, Rishus Rabbi Blau, other Rabbanim, and all of you who have come to join us this evening. A number of people have asked me how I come to speak tonight. For me, the answer is very simple. A young man came into my office a couple of weeks ago. I didn't recognize him. And he asked if he could speak with me. I invited him to sit down. And he said to me that he once heard me in his yeshiva in Rambam in Baltimore a couple of years ago. He had a classmate, a very close friend, who passed away as a young man. And would I speak at a shir, at an evening in his memory? I was so taken by Adam's sincerity and his genuineness and his edelkeit. He actually said to me, "Where's Adam?" I don't know if you remember this. He said to me, I don't really have a lot of money, but I'll pay you anything you want if you would do this. And I was so overwhelmed and touched by somebody who cares so much about a friend and would do so much in order to remember his friend that I immediately said that I would do it, obviously not taking any money. And Adam, I just want to tell you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should grant you arichas yamim and a wonderful life for what you're doing for your friend and for his family. I want to thank all of those who are responsible for tonight. I asked Adam to tell me a little bit about Gilad, Zichrono Livracha. I didn't know him. And as he was speaking to me, I thought that the theme of Kavod HaBriyos would be an appropriate focus for tonight's conversation. He talked to me about his goodness and his caring, and even tonight, in his brief introductory remarks, he used the word caring a number of times. To care for other people, to smile to other people, to try to make the world a little bit of a better place. And so I think an analysis of Kavod HaBriyos would be appropriate. This particular sugya is complex and multifaceted. And what I want to do is simply to work through with you one of the Sichos Musar of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz Zatzal, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Miri Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. I myself had the privilege of learning in the Miri Yeshiva in the late 1960s, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz then was b'malay kaimasa u'b'malay gvurasa in full strength. Not only did he say a shir klali once a week, but he gave a shmuz, a sichas musar. And it was only later in 71, 72, 73 that the sichas musar, after I had already left the yeshiva, were written down and were published for the rest of the world to be able to benefit. So we're going to work through one of the Sichas Musar of Rav Chaim, and we're going to do so Le'ilui Nishmas Gilad Hillel Ben Eliyahu Mordechai U'Bracha Miral. The Meiri points out in Bracha Stav Yotessam Adbeis, is there anybody here who does not have a copy of the handout? There are some extra. There's a hand over here. Pick your hand up again. Just hold up. You have... Anybody else need? Just raise your hands. There might be a couple still floating around. If not, please make sure that you sit next to somebody who has a copy of the sheets. We're going to be learning together tonight. The Miri says in Brachas on Daf Yotes Amid Beis, and this is really the point of departure. Kavod HaBriyos chaviv ad ma'od, ein lecha mida chaviva mimeno. Kavod HaBriyos meaning being sensitive to and caring about and actually honoring honoring other human beings, and we're going to see tonight the extent to which we're obligated to honor other human beings. That's chaviv ad ma'od. That's a very beloved principle. And in fact, it's the most beloved principle, says the Meiri, ein lecha mida chaviva mimena. And I want to go through a series of examples where the principle of kavod habrias is applied, and then to draw some lessons for ourselves in this crazy world in which we live, where there's so much tension and there's so much anger and there's so much bitterness and there's so much lack of respect. And to maybe be able to undertake a little bit more civility and courteousness and menschlichkeit and human decency. Le'ilui nishmas Gilad Hillel ben Eliyahu Mordechai Ubracha Miro. The pasuk says at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, Ela Dvarim Asher Dibur Moshe El Kol Yisrael, the top left of the page, the first page, Be'ever Ayardein Bamidbar Ba'arava Mol Sof Bein Parim Bein Tofel V'Lavan V'Chatzeros V'Dizav. There's a list of names and a list of places, quite cryptic, quite unclear. We don't know exactly what this is referring to. So Rashi tells us on that pasuk, "Lefi she'ein divrei tochachos." Rashi dvarim aleph aleph, because these are words of rebuke. Umona kan kol ha'mekomos she'achisu lefnei ha'makom bahen. And now, in his valedictory address to Bnei Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu is about to lists all of the places where Bnei Yisrael acted out against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's giving them Musar. Lefi choch sasan esadvarim. He covered it over. The Hiskiram Beremes, he only hinted, Mipnei Kavodon Shal Yisrael. So the first category of Kavod Abrius is Brios Bichlal. And here we're talking about Klal Yisrael Bichlal. That we have an obligation to be Mechabe, the Jewish people. The Jewish people itself is an element worthy of Kavod, of our respect. Zot Rab Chaim in the Sichas Musar below quotes the Pasuk, and he quotes Rashi. Moshe Rabbeinu Zok Rab Chaim Yomim Sfurim Lifnei Moso. Moshe Rabbeinu is now a few counted Gitzel Teteg, a few counted days before his death. Bevo lo chiacham Yisrael alachatoim hayiduim v'amufursanim lakol. Everybody knows what these events were. Everybody knows the places where the Jewish people acted inappropriately to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ubeneim chet hamaraglim shalav nigzara misal daram midbar v'lo zochu leikanes la'aretz. A chet hamaraglim, terrible thing that the Jews did. It's not something that was hidden. It's not something that was unknown. Everybody knew about it. V'chet ha'egel. The chet ha'egel was manifestly obvious. Asher adayin ravetz aleihem. It still hovered over them, this chet ha'egel. Shelo nifra kulo. Every door, continues Rav Chaim, every time there's something that happens to the Jewish people, a piece of that terrible event is in payment for, somehow has to be tied back to the Maiseh HaEgel. Shebechol pkido pkido nifra mimenu ktsas. So we know about the Meraglim, and we know about the Maiseh HaEgel. And nevertheless, hafal became nizhar shelo lefaret es hachatoim beferish elo beremez. Nevertheless, Moshe Rabbeinu went out of his way to be careful not to make it obvious, not to lay out each one of them in the fullness of their identification, but rather to present them in a remez hinted, kedei shelo levaisha, in order not to embarrass them. Av shehoya bezem isha mitzvahs tolchacha. Now you would imagine, other rabbi, give a musar. They did bad things. And we're talking about major bad things, not just I'm a bad thingala. A huge bad thing. The Maisa HaEgel, it doesn't get worse. Avodah Zarah. The Maisa Meraglim, where's your bitachon? One would have imagined that Moshe Rabbeinu would start screaming and yelling and excoriating them for their chutzpah and for their lack of faith. And everybody knows they did it. And now's the time he's about to remove himself from the face of history and from the Jewish people. Adarabba, give a musar. And Moshe Rabbeinu is beremiza, because after all, there's another principle. And the principle of Kavod Yisrael trumps the obligation and maybe even the benefit of full-throated musar. Harezim ilamdenu magadola malas kovet abrias v'chiyuv hazihirus baser. How careful we have to be. We move now from example of klal to an example of a yachid. The Gemara says in Bava Basra, Daf Tes Zayin, the bottom of the first page, based on the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, the Navi tells us at the beginning of Sefer Shmuel that Elkanah had two wives. One wife was Chana and one wife was Penina, and Penina had children, and Chana didn't have children. And the Pasuk says that Penina, not sure exactly what this means, somehow she poked fun. She taunted. Somehow she was not misyacheses with full derech eretz and with full sensitivity to Chana. Say Chazal, as a result of that, mesu kol banecha. Terrible thing happened. Zokti Gemara upnina l'shem shamayim nischavnu. Zokti Gemara that Penina had in mind, she did what she did l'shem shamayim. Pop in the next page. She did what she did l'shem shamayim. Says Rav Chaim at the top of the next page that the only reason why she made it difficult for Chana is because she wanted Chana to feel bad and she wanted Chana to be mispalel. Her whole goal was in order to goad Chana into praying. That adarabah, Penina was very sensitive and she was very sweet and she was very kind and she was wonderful. It took so much out of her. It took so much out of her was keneged her nature to do this. But the reason why she did it was she did it as a favor. She did it as a favor to Chana so that Chana should pray with even greater fervor and with even greater enthusiasm. Says Rav Chaim on the fourth line, third line, V'afal pisha penina tzadekes gemura hisa. U'bevadai hoya kosha lo ma'ud l'tzayar etz Chana. It's a hard thing for her to do. V'chol ma she'osesa lo osesa elo la'adiyo lidei tfilah. She was meiser nefesh in order to help Chana, because she wanted Chana to daven, because she knew how much Chana wanted to be blessed with a child. And nevertheless, Zot Rav Chaim. U'b'chol zos manora onsha, what a terrible thing. Why? V'chol kach lama. Ki apogea b'chaveiro, if somebody touches, adversely affects somebody else. Yihiyu machshavosav asher yihiyu, no matter what their intention may be. Hareyu kemachnes yado l'toch tanoresh. You're putting your hand into fire. And when you're putting your hand into fire, so you could say, well, I'm putting my hand into fire because I have to save something. I'm putting my hand into fire because I have to do something appropriate and something positive. You know what happens? Your hand gets burned. Kavana doesn't take away from the etzem maisa. And the maisa of what Penina did was so outrageous and was so wrong that even if, as the Gemara says at the bottom of the previous page, that she did it l'shem shamayim, she didn't have kavod for Chana. And if she didn't have kavod for Chana, Zot Rav Chaim, then things don't turn out the way we want. Kova, where the tefillah sarvis is rishus. So Rabbi Gamliel said that tefillah sarvis is chov, it's obligatory. And Rabbi Yeshua said that tefillah sarvis is optional. And there's a whole discussion that takes place. And in the course of this conversation, Rabbi Gamliel humiliates Rabbi Yeshua. He calls him in. He challenges him. He makes him stand. He behaves in a way that's not appropriate to Rabbi Yeshua. When the Chabura sees that that's what's going on, they feel that Rabban Gamliel is no longer appropriate to be the head of the Sanhedrin, the head of the Jewish people. And so they say in line 5, Tov na'avre, let's remove him. 5 lines from the bottom of Brachas Chav Zayin Amid Beis. No, so if you depose him, so you have to put somebody else in his place. So they have to figure out who's going to take over for Rabban Gamliel. man no can lay. So the first obvious option was that they should ask Rabbi Yoshua to take over. There was a wonderful Jew, big Talmud Chacham. He's a bar plukta with Rabbi Gamliel. So nukme le Rabbi Yoshua. So the Gemara says, no, it's not appropriate. Bal maisahu. If the Rabbi Yeshua is the one who was in the story that resulted in deposing Rabbi Gamliel's vote nishke pas, would be a little bit too much if we were to put Rabbi Yeshua dafka on the same chair where Rabbi Gamliel sat 5 minutes ago. Says the Meiri in his commentary on Brachas. Kol she'efshe lo adam laharchik mena machlokes ro'i lo laharchik. It's a wonderful principle. Anybody who could remove oneself to the extent to which we can remove ourselves from machlokes, then it's appropriate to do. V'chol shkein ha'gedolim u'b'nei ha'mayla. V'chol shkein ha'tzibur. Every individual, chashuv the people, special people, and certainly the community at large. And here we're talking about a decision and about a behavior that was not done by one person, but done by the tzibur, by the whole group. V'af k'shehechrech me'viyam lachlok u'laha'avir ha'nichbad misra raso. Even though when the time Nebuch comes, as it sometimes comes when you have to do the right thing and you have to remove somebody from a position of authority, as they determined need to be done, in this case of Rabbi Gamliel, and ro'i lohem litna lo'oso shebishvilo ira lo dovarze. You don't rub it in their nose by putting Dafka, the person on whose account they were deposed, into his spot. Even though Rabbi Yeshua would have been manifestly appropriate to become the next leader. It would be an extra shtach. It would be an extra hard pill to swallow for Rabbi Gamliel if Dafka Rabbi Yeshua is going to be sitting there. Now listen to the Meiri. The tzustel of the Meiri to the story of Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, and Brachas. The chen matzino b'machlokes shel Korach. Emor el Elazar ben Aaron vayarem esamachtos. Who is vayarem esamachtos? Who's the one who's going to prove that Moshe and Aaron are right and not Korach? Elazar ben Aaron is going to be vayarem esamachtos. V'lo rotza HaKadosh Baruch Hu lomar kein la'aron atzmo. Why not Aaron? Korach has a fight with Aaron. Aaron should pick it up, and Aaron's picking it up will prove that Aaron is right and Korach is wrong. Why do we have to go to Elazar? Zokt de Meiri kidei lelame derech eretz bekach. You know what? My heart bleeds, Nebuch, for Korach. It would have been too much. It would have been too much if Aaron would have done it. It would have been a shtickle too embarrassing for Korach. It's not derech eretz. We have to have derech eretz for Korach. Kedei lelami derech eretz bekach. Ela borim lohem acher gadol v'hagun b'chol davar u'memanen also. Zot Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim quotes the Gemara in Brachas. Reb Chaim quotes the Meiri. Second paragraph. Hadvarim afliim. This is unbelievable. This is wondrous, says Reb Chaim. Bishleim b'maisa the Rabban Gamliel nisi Yisrael kadosh Hashem. I understand in the machlokes between Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. I understand that we want to be sensitive to Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel, a gevaldig tzaddik. Rabban Gamliel was unbelievable. Unbelievable. So he misspoke. So we have to do what we have to do. But we're sensitive. We don't want to rub it in. We're sensitive to Kavod HaTorah. We're sensitive to a little bit Yisrael. So we have to be concerned. We have to weigh ourselves very carefully in what we do. But this band, Chevra Oisvors, These 250 people led by Korach, what was their raison d'etre? To challenge the authority of Moshe and Aaron. And what happened to them? We know what happened to them. We know exactly what happened to them. Ma mokom yesh lachshosh lechvodom? I have to worry about kavod habrias for Korach. I have to worry about kavod habrias for Korach. Nebuch. He'll be a shtickle too much offended, Korach. V'nilmod mizeh. Last paragraph in Rav Chaim. Shelo rak sheyesh lochosh lechvodo shel Rama Gamliel nesi Yisrael. Elo afilu elu. Shehoyu b'nei mavas. We know what happened to them. Hanoadim el Hashem. They joined together in order to oppose HaKadosh Baruch Hu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's authority through the medium of Moshe and Aaron. Ein kvodam hefker. It's not hefker. It's not like they're a bunch of menuvolim, mushchasim, lowlifes. Do what you want. Do what you want. Rub it in. Rub it in. Who deserves it more than Korach? Korach did something horrible. And you know what? No hefkeres. It's not a free-for-all. They get what they deserve. Not one shred more. Not one iota more than what they deserve. V'lo nitin lohem elo lefi cheshbon meduk tagzeh. V'av shebemaisa zeh nechrasu lederon olam al mizbach Hashem. Even though they were fried, they were swallowed, they were fried, they were plagued, one after another after another. Mikol makom she'aharon atzmo yorim hamachtos. If Aaron would be the one to demonstrate that they were wrong by lifting up the machtos, haya yoser mimashe higia lahem. That would be more than what would be coming to them. Umana HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Aaron mizeh. She'af bizman she'avar adam, afilu bedavar chomer ma'od. Even when somebody is an avarian of the highest order, even when somebody is over an avera to the nth degree, and Korach is known, and his name goes down in infamy for the way he challenged Moshe and Aaron. It's a big chait, and the demonstration of punishment against him and his followers were dramatic repeatedly. V'ne'nash ba'onesh godol b'yoser, lo hufkar kevodo l'gamri. You'd imagine, are you kidding? Stick it to him. What kind of lowlife? Adarabba, squirm! Squirm, you mushchis! This is what happens when you challenge Moshe and Aaron? Squirm! No. You know what it is? It's kavod habrias. It's not my cheshbon. You have to have kavod habrias for Korach v'Hadasso. And it's going to get even stronger. The next reference. Gittin nun zayin amed aleph. It's a long gemara. In Masechus Gittin, we know it because it's the favorite Gemara to learn on Tisha B'Av. It's a Gemara about Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, a very famous story. At the end of the day, Bar Kamsa went ahead and he was embarrassed by the host at the meal. I'm not going to repeat the whole story. Host invites somebody and the shaliach mistakes and invites the enemy instead of the friend, and the friend's name was Kamsa, and the enemy's name was Bar Kamsa, and Bar Kamsa doesn't want to be humiliated, and he ends up being humiliated, and then what does he do? He goes and snitches on the Jewish people, and he is directly responsible for the destruction for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Bar Kamsa is one of the super bad guys in our tradition. It's because of Bar Kamsa. I understand he was humiliated, and I feel sorry. I really do. It's a terrible thing. But to then go ahead and lead directly to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? Inexcusable. Zok de Gemara, the very end of this sugya, all the way at the end, two blot after the Gemara starts with the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, and goes on to other stories, the Gemara circles back before it leaves this with one final thought. Tanya Amar Rabbi Elazar, Bo re'e kama gedola kocha shel busha. You know how terrible it is to embarrass somebody? She'arei siyeya HaKadosh Baruch Hu es bar kamsa, v'hichriv es beso v'sarafek sechol. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sensitive to the slight that was perpetrated upon bar kamsa. So you'll say he's disgusting. You'll say he's despicably disgusting, and he was. But he was the victim of busha. There was no kavod habrios. And when there is no kavod habrios, there is a set of extraordinary consequences. Zot Reb Chaim. Ve'en hadvarim amurim, and now at the bottom of the second page. The principle of kavod habrios doesn't only apply, we saw on the first page, it applies to Bnei Yisrael, applies to Bnei Yisrael when Moshe Rabbeinu was ready to die and he's giving them Musar, he doesn't want to mention who they are. And it doesn't only apply to Penina, Penina was given at Tzadekis. And it doesn't only apply to Rabban Gamliel given at Gadol B'Yisrael. We have to worry about Klal Yisrael. We have to worry about Chana. We have to worry about Rabban Gamliel. It applies to Korach. And it applies to somebody who single-handedly was responsible for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'in hadvarim amurim dafka b'chvodo shel ha'klal kulo, elo af b'chvodo shel ha'pochus shebebrios. The lowest of all creatures, the lowest of the low, shekein motzinu, and Reb Chaim quotes the Gemara in Gittin. He quotes the story. Hine, three lines from the bottom. Busha zu eina busha shel kol Yisrael. This is not a humiliation that was perpetrated upon the Jewish people as a whole. Ela busha shel yachid. One person was embarrassed. And what kind of a person? What kind of a person was embarrassed? Shel bar kamsa shem mishum boshto lo nimna milihios rode fal kol Yisrael. We're talking about a yachid who, as a result of the fact that he was humiliated, did not stop at anything and was prepared and in fact did act as a redeif for all of Klal Yisrael. V'limsar osam lemelech romi, af boshto shel adam mushchas zeh. This despicable lowlife, bokas rikikim, pierces the heavens. Pierces the heavens. So I think we should think about this. We should think about this in terms of our personal discourse, how we talk to one another, because we feel like we're right, and we feel like God is on our side, and we feel like we got to make the point, we got to let the other side know, we got to rub it in and rub it in and rub it in. And this is the case so often in our Jewish public discourse. Where's the Avos Yisrael? Where's the sensitivity? Where's the kindness? And where's the respect? And now to the final culminating example. Top of page 3. It's an amazing Rashi and an amazing Medrash. It's actually extraordinarily amazing. Rashi says in Bamidbar, in Parshas Balak, that after the donkey bested Bilam, you remember the story? Bilam is going wherever he's going and he bumps up against the donkey and he doesn't let him through and they have a conversation. And Bilam is stymied by the donkey. Says Rashi, quoting a Medrash, we'll see it in a minute, that after that episode, HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed the donkey. HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed the donkey. Look at Rashi, top right. Says Rashi, haragtiha. It's the fifth line from Rashi on the top right of page 3. I killed the donkey, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why did God kill the donkey that bested Bilam? Shelo yomru, zu hi shesilka Bilam bitochachta v'lo yochol lahashiv. Shechas hamakom al kavod habrias. Nebuch. Oy, it's painful for me. I feel deeply, Nebuch, for Bilam. My heart goes out for Bilam. My heart goes out for him. Could you imagine? Could you imagine if the donkey was alive? Wherever the donkey would go, people would say, "Look at that. Look at that animal. That's the animal that bested Bilam." Are you kidding? That animal would become a celebrity. And that animal would go everywhere. And everybody would know. You want to know what happens if you want to curse the Jewish people? The animal is better than you. Everybody would say, this animal was stronger than Bilam. And you know what? It's going to hurt Nebuch, poor Bilam. Where's the covered abrias for Bilam? Shechas hamakom al covered abrias. I have to care about Bilam. And therefore I have to kill out the animal. Because if I kill out the animal, nobody's ever going to say anything that this is the animal that bested Bilam. There is no animal. Look at the Medrash on the top left-hand side. The Medrash gives two reasons why a Kadosh Baruch Hu killed the animal. Kivin Shedibra, second line. No sooner did the donkey, did the animal finish, Kivin Shedibra Mesa. It died. First reason is, Shelo Yiyu Omrim Zu Shedibra V'osin Osa Yirah. They were afraid that they would make a god out of this. They would make a deity out of this. You think every behemoth can go around and do what this behemoth did? This is Epis Hagor Chash of a behemoth. This behemoth has powers. You know what? Maybe this behemoth should become some kind of a deity. We don't want that to happen, so we kill off the behemoth. That's the first shot. Dover Acher, Chas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Kvodo Shel Oso Rasha Shelo Yomru Zu Hoyser Shesilko Esbilo. Zot Reb Chai. V'chei Matzino Bebilo. Shemiyad La'achar She'asona Hochicha Oso Mesa. As soon as the donkey gave him mussar and gave him a hard time, the animal died. Shelo Yomru Zuhi Shesilko Esbilo B'tochachto. Zot Reb Chai. Bilam Hoya Avi Avos Kol HaPchisiyus Sheba'olam. He was the paradigm of all of the disgusting things in humanity. He was the highest of the high of all of the lowest of the low. Afal Pikein Mechshash L'Pgiyo B'Kvodo Himis HaKadosh Baruch Hu Esa Oson. Because I'm worried, Nebuch, for the covet of Bilam. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu kills the Oson. Could you imagine? If this donkey, if this animal was left alive, it would be a tremendous kiddush Hashem. Kol roa osa haya omer ze sheposach Hashem es piho and kill Bilam and beat Bilam. We should take this donkey and bring the donkey to every shul on a different Shabbos and stick the donkey on the bima, and the rabbi should make a drasha. This is what happens when you want to act out against the Jewish people. We should bring the donkey all over the place. A kiddush Hashem, this donkey. Look what happens when you want to act like Bilam. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's another factor here that trumps this. And that is kavod abrias. For who? For who? Not for Kal Yisrael, and not for Rama Gamliel, and not for Chana, for the Avi Avos of all the Pchisi Yosheba'olam. Mikamakam Kivin Sheyesh Behish Arusa B'chayim. Because were it to be left alive, there would be a Pegia Kala, Shtikila Unrearing, a little bit of a Pegia, B'pochus Shebepechusim Zeh, in this lowest low life, Eisvorf, disgusting creature. Chasamakam al kvodo. Behemoth says also. So much of our contemporary discourse is l'shem shemayim. Got to do it l'shem shemayim. Got to knock the other person out l'shem shemayim. Have to show Torah. I'm right. Not I'm right, Chas v'shalom. It's not about me. It's about God. It's about Torah. And you rub it in and you destroy. We learn the level of respect that we have to have, even for the lowest of the low. And I have been actually transformed when I learned this Reb Chaim. And I think it's important for us to think about it and to incorporate this into our lives, even when we're right, and we know we're right, and especially if God is on our side, and more often than not we think God is on our side, it's totally irrelevant. Where's your derech eretz? Where's your menschlichkeit? Where's your kavod avrias? And Reb Chaim concluded, and I want to conclude with, why is this so? Why is kavod avrias so special? Reb Chaim said, you know why? Because we don't really realize and understand the koyach and the power that a human being has. You know, most of you are students, and even if you're not a student, we face challenges and issues, and sometimes we question ourselves. Are we up to the task? Can we do it? Can we get it done? Can we do it right? Whether it's whatever schoolwork we have to do, whether it's the learning that we do, maybe we're not holding on such a level where we could really make it happen. And certainly in the case of interpersonal human relationships, are we up for the relationship? If we want to get married and we want somebody else to think highly of us, so maybe we're really not on the level that we would like to be to attract the other person. And I think we need to walk away with a fundamental understanding of the potential for human greatness. Reb Chaim quotes a medrash. This is my last medrash, bottom of page 3. It's actually an unbelievable medrash. The medrash says, in Vayikra Rabba, on the Pasuk in Parshas Kisavo, V'hayisa rak l'mayla. You will be rak l'mayla. Talking about a human being, it's not you're going to be l'mayla, you're going to be like almost l'mayla. Ask the Medrash Yachol Kamoni, you might think that you, a human being, will be like me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Talmud Lomar Rak Lashon Miyot. You're not going to be l'mayla on my level, you're going to be rak l'mayla. You'll be a shtickle less. You should know, at the end of the day, G'dulasi l'mayla m'gedulaschem. I'm still greater than you. 3 lines later, Pasuk says, Kedoshim Tiyu. Very famous Pasuk. Kedoshim Tiyu. Yachol Kamoni, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you might think you're going to be holy like me. Talmud Lomar Ki Kadosh Ani. No, I'm the one who's really holy. Kedushasi l'mayla m'gedushaschem. Zot Reb Chaim, second line in the middle. The nearishi yesod chomer kavod abriyasu gedulaso. The reason why we are so overly, and it would appear to be extremely overly sensitive, just incredibly overly sensitive to the notion of kavod abriyas, is mishum she ha'adam atzma gadol ma'od, because a human being has a capacity for greatness, and therefore we have to be mechabed human beings. The problem is, says Reb Chaim, Ela sha'anu ein lanu hasoga begadlus ha'adam. We don't know the potential greatness of a human being. We don't know how great we could be. We don't know the koiches hanefesh that we each have, and therefore we wonder. And he quotes the Medrash, 5 lines from the bottom. Hine hava mina kozos. Shall Yochol Kamoni Maflia Osanu. What kind of havamin is this? The Hayisa Rak Lamaila. Kedoshim Tihu. You might think, Frek the Medrash, you might think you're on my level. So I need a pasuk to tell you that you should know you're not on my level. What kind of a ludicrous havamin is this? I would have a havamina that I'm on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's level, that I need a pasuk to tell me, hold it, you're not on my level, and I'm going to tell you you're not on my level because the pasuk says you're not on my level. But otherwise I'd have a havamina, a human being would have a havamina, yachol kamoni. V'hine havamina kozos maflio sanu. V'lmalei midrash kosu v'yeshu la'omro. And the answer is, Dr. Reb Chaim, yes. The Havamin is justified because it underscores the power of the capacity of greatness in every human being. Mishum she'enanu yodim u'makirim begadlus ha'adam. So we wonder. We think it's bizarre. It's because we don't know. Because we're not in touch with what we could be. Aval chazal she'yodu v'hikiru. But Chazal, who knew the koiches ha'adam, who knew what we could be, ra'u makom le'yachol kamoni. They understood such a havamina. V'hutzruchu pasak miyuchad l'ma'etos. Because of the greatness in every human being. We don't lack, we don't have the confidence as much as we should have. We underestimate our abilities sometimes and often, and we don't realize the heights to which we could reach. And so therefore we need to treat one another, because if we could reach those heights, the other person could reach those heights. And even a despicable mushchis, not only Klal Yisrael, and not only Chana, not only Rabban Gamliel, but the lowest of the low. We need to inject our discourse with kindness and with caring and with sensitivity. Those values that Gilad represented in his all too short life. And to remember him, thanks to Adam and thanks to everybody who put this together. To remember him in ways that will inspire us to reach up and to do better and to be kinder and to be more sensitive. L'ilui nishmas Gilad Hillel ben Eliyahu Mordechai u'bracha miro tehei nishmaso tzrura b'tzeror hachayim.